Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. For decades, a college education was viewed as the key to career success. Fast forward to today, questions about the value of a college degree are being asked by generations of people with student loan debt and few job prospects in white-collar careers. This is leading more people to see the value of careers in the trades: plumbing, electrical, HVAC, and more. We're looking at the growing interest in trade careers this hour, and joining us to begin the conversation is Stacy Haller, Chief Career Advisor for ResumeBuilder.com. Welcome to All Sides, Stacy.
My pleasure to be here, Amy.
So Resume Builder released a survey of Gen Z adults about how economic pressures are shaping their career paths. What was your biggest takeaway from that survey?
That this seems to be the natural progression of the changing workplace. I mean, there are so many pressures on workers today. And since COVID, we're looking at things differently. We're working differently. We have different options. And I think this is a natural progression because for the last several years, the bloom has kind of been off the rose when it comes to college degrees in many ways. You know, unless you need it for a specific career path, like an accountant or a doctor, many folks are realizing that it's just costing them more money and delaying a career. So Gen Z has almost been forced to look at alternatives of what can they do to get a more productive life sooner. So trade jobs is a path that many of them are starting to go down.
Yeah, there's a lot of degrees or a lot of jobs posted that sometimes say bachelor's degree required. But are you finding less and less of that? Or is it mainly the trade jobs that don't say bachelor's degree required?
No, it's actually both. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started to see several years ago when there was a fight for talent. Let's take government. Most government jobs have done away with college degrees. I'm here in Massachusetts, and right now, 90% of government jobs up here, you do not need a college degree for. And so that has been the trend in looking for skilled talent. And Amy, I think so many of us, if we look at all the folks that we know in our lives, went to college for a degree that they never ended up using in their career. Mm. And I think people are paying off college loans for degrees that they aren't really using in their career, thinking, this might not really make sense. Maybe there is a better way. And there's so many pressures on younger folks, less jobs, a harder job market, many factors. So this is becoming more and more attractive to that generation. And as I've been saying, you know, AI can't cut your hair or fix the pipes under your sink. So many of these folks are looking for more long-term job security too, not knowing what jobs are even going to exist 5 or 10 years from now.
Nobel Prize winning computer scientist Geoffrey Hinton was interviewed for a podcast about AI, and he advised people to train to be a plumber. Would you, as a career advisor, would you give the same advice?
Well, only if you enjoy plumbing. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about trade jobs, there are some people who are just not cut out to sit at a desk all day long and work. It doesn't fulfill them. It's not their mode of operandi. And they like hands-on work, being in the outdoors, being with people. And I think it allows them to say, okay, that's a good career. It doesn't mean you're less of a person in your career if you're not in a white-collar college grad degree job. And I think AI does throw that into the mix. I think that folks who do have college degrees and white-collar jobs also need to start navigating where their job is going and what skills they're going to need in the future in this changing world. But yes, you know, I don't want AI cutting my hair. I want somebody trained that can do that for me. And I think many of those folks are also seeing that could lead to more power to control their own career. So if you're in a trade job, many of them several years down the road want to have their own business or open up their own shop or be entrepreneurs. And they see a path where they're more in control of their career than somebody in some big building where they're sitting at a desk all day long.
We have discussed many different colors of our collars, you know, white collar jobs, blue collar jobs. There's also categories of green collar jobs, pink collar jobs. Can you tell me the traditional definition of a blue collar job?
It really relates more to more hands-on work. You know, using your hands in your job to create or to do something, or an in-person job, something you can't do on a computer, something that you can't do sitting in an office desk where you're actually interacting, where technology cannot go. That's how I see it now in those blue-collar trades. So it takes internships. It's faster entry into the job market. Right? It's less costly. Doesn't cost the same as a college degree. So, if your job needs an internship, meaning you're practicing hands-on skills in that regard, you know, that's all in the world of trade jobs. Unions are also a lot more involved in the trade job. So there's that extra benefit for those people who join a union when it comes to benefits and internships and guaranteed wages. But back to your question, trade jobs is working hands-on, not sitting in front of a computer.
Do people like to use the phrase trade job rather than blue collar, or does it not really matter?
You know, from my perspective, I don't know that it matters as much because some of the old paradigms are kind of fading away. I think trade jobs is a better way to explain it. You know, the color of the shirt you wear shouldn't be a reflection of who you are in your career necessarily. I think it was just kind of a quick, easy way to describe whether you're working hands-on or you're sitting in an office. I think trade has a more skilled connotation to it. That there's more behind it. But I don't really know that most people care anymore.
What are you seeing whenever you're looking at trends when it comes to AI and replacing white collar for using the phrase white collar career? What jobs are being replaced by AI right now?
The more transactional kind of roles, the roles pulling data, analyzing data, doing the more mundane type of works is where we're seeing it's creeping more. For example, in an HR department, maybe putting job descriptions together or looking at skill sets needed for a job. And after that, we're still figuring it out. But what's going to be necessary for people in this work world is to one, make sure everybody needs to have some skill around using AI. Because I think it's going to be ingrained in our life, just like knowing MS Office or knowing an Excel spreadsheet. Now you're going to need to know AI. It's another tool. Now, as to where that's going, I think what we're seeing is the more human interaction roles are going to rise up. Somebody needs to look at all this. Somebody needs to analyze what it's doing. We still need emotional intelligence and critical thinking and things that AI can't do. So those skills are going to be needed more in overseeing what this technology is going to bring to us. But, you know, if you look at history, technology always changes work. I mean, it goes back to the cotton gin. People weren't picking cotton, or it goes back to technology or Excel spreadsheets where you're not doing it by hand anymore. I mean, the forward thinking as we move into the world, technology is always going to change the way we work. But I think today there's a little more unknown because I'm not sure we know where AI is going in general anyway. So I think people need to stay on top of their skill sets, be adaptable, and really take a look at the job you're doing and seeing is that going to be replaced? And what skills do I need to be the one overseeing what's coming down the line?
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the growing interest in trade careers with Stacey Haller, Chief Career Advisor for ResumeBuilder.com. What are you seeing when it comes to these skilled trade jobs and workers who are retiring? Because I feel like for a number of years, we were worried about not having enough plumbers and roofers and electricians because they all were getting older and retiring, and there wasn't anyone to replace them because everyone was in college. Is that changing now?
Well, yeah, we're seeing at least now there are folks, it's interesting because the opposite of that is in the white collar world, many older workers are holding on to their jobs because they still have to work. And what's happening there is there's less movement sometimes because workers are hanging on longer. Now, in the trade jobs, if those are folks that have had their own businesses and built up those kind of businesses and they are ready to retire, we are going to lose that skill set in our population. And I think that's another reason Gen Zers are looking at this. They see opportunities there where there is more movement to move up in your career in that world, where on the white collar side, we're seeing it slow down a little bit because people need to work longer.
Yeah, and I mean, there, whenever everyone was pushing college, you got to get the 4-year degree, that made it so that some blue collar jobs were seen as something to avoid. But now there's a certain exclusiveness about them. I mean, I don't know how to rewire a house, but someone who does know how to rewire my house has amazing career prospects. So can you talk about some of the pros and cons here whenever it's about that, where it used to be a job to avoid, but now it's like this exclusive skill?
Well, I think the beauty of it is what's happening, that these old paradigms are shifting. And I think the fact that so many industries were doing away with college degrees in the last couple of years anyway, it took that bloom off of that. That was no longer the be all end all. You could have a career, you could make a lot of money, you could have stability without a college degree. And without going into debt for 20 years after you graduated, when you're working at a job that you didn't even go to college for. So, yes, I think the bloom is going away. I think people are getting more hands-on, more practical. What do I need to do? I talk to people in white collar jobs all the time, and they're like, maybe I should do my own business. There's a trend of people wanting to take more control over their careers. So, I do think that the old paradigm is fading away, thank God, because there should not be anybody, turning up their nose about what anybody does if they're happy in their career. Not everybody was meant to be in an office anyway. And to your point, we need people to fix our pipes. We need people to do those kind of trade jobs that cannot be replaced. So I think there's a lot of positives for everyone here. Now, not everything is, colored with rose-colored glasses. It's still a job and a trade. You have to do well. You have to build up your skills if you want your own business. It's not easy building your own business. But I think it has more with people wanting to feel that they have more control over being able to do what they want to do, make money in the way they want to make it, not be looked down if they don't want to sit in an office somewhere wearing some white shirt, which they're not doing anyway anymore, but they're able to work the way they want and have other possibilities. So I think we're getting there. I think there's always going to be some people that think certain ways of working are great, like there is in life. But I think we are getting to a better place where certainly college degrees are not the be all end all anymore, unless it's in a field that requires it for advanced degrees.
And are the companies that employ these blue-collar job workers getting with the program of what Gen Z wants, which is more flexibility and a good income? Because there was that stigma where some blue-collar jobs, you had to work really long hours, you have to work weekends, there's evenings involved because plumbing breaks at all hours of the night. But are companies coming around to better working hours and better pay?
Well, I think all companies are taking a look because there's a whole generation that is demanding a different way of working. So if they're going to hire people, they're going to need to take a look at that. I don't know. I don't have any data so far to see for sure that it is trending in that direction, but they're going to have no choice. I mean, they are going to need, this generation has a voice. And they are demanding certain things that employers are looking at. And if you want to engage that population and hire them, you need to meet their needs. So we'll kind of see. We're sort of in the beginnings of this. First has to come the paradigm shift of how we're thinking about it. And we'll see how this comes into actuality. But we are seeing things like community colleges working with local populations and training programs for positions in companies, and companies looking to pair up with trade schools or colleges to get a workforce for them. So we're not done yet, but we're definitely on a precipice of looking at work differently and how we work.
Well, and we're going to talk about one of those trade schools, a trade academy here in just a moment. But as a final question to you, have you seen social media contributing to the popularity of the increase of people wanting to get blue collar jobs instead of going to college? Because I've seen a few, more than a few TikTok videos making fun of office jobs and white collar work. And so do you think social media is playing a factor here?
Well, since we're talking about a generation that's mostly attached to social media, I'd say yes. If we were talking about baby boomers, I'd say no. But yes, this generation does have influencers, which they call them. And I think this is a backlash to what we used to say is the man in the white collar job. Like, we don't need to listen to this anymore. And as every younger generation comes in, they're reassessing this. So does it have an influence? I think it does. I think it gives them permission. Permission to be able to look at different things. Now they only have to convince their parents.
We've been speaking with Stacey Haller, Chief Career Advisor for ResumeBuilder.com. Thank you for being with us today, Stacey.
My pleasure. Thank you, Amy.
And coming up, we're going to talk about how Franklin County's Trades Academy is training the next generation of skilled trades workers. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jarovich. A confluence of economic conditions is resulting in a blue-collar career boom. College degrees are expensive. More and more people are talking about how hard it is to find a job in certain white-collar fields. Plus, AI is going to be taking over some of those jobs in the future. But one thing AI cannot do is install a new HVAC system, rewire a house, or convert a bathtub into a shower. Helping to train the next generation of skilled trades workers is the Franklin County Trades Academy. And one way they're doing this is through a 7-week program that they recently launched. And joining us now to tell us more about it is Stephanie Hightower, president and CEO of the Columbus Urban League. Welcome back to All Sides, Stephanie.
Thank you for having us.
And also with us is Carmen Barnes, assistant director of the Franklin County Department of Job and Family Services. Welcome, Carmen.
Thank you.
So the Franklin County Trades Academy is a partnership between the Columbus Urban League and the Franklin County Department of Job and Family Services. Stephanie, what led to this teaming up?
Well, about 6 years ago, there was a program that we had incubated. The county commissioners at that time knew that the construction industry was going to be booming here in Franklin County. And they teamed up with the unions and the Columbus Urban League and said, let's figure out how we can put together a trades program for underrepresented people, right? To have an opportunity to move into the middle class. That program then went on and left the Urban League and then came back last year back to the Urban League because we wanted to reconfigure it a little bit differently to make sure that we were guaranteeing that the participants who were coming into the program were actually going into the trades or getting jobs or becoming part of unions and getting to apprenticeship programs that really led them to the middle class. And so the Franklin County Commissioners entrusted the Columbus Urban League to once again reframe and sort of restructure this program. This time around, we have partnered with Columbus State, which is a great partner. And I just heard your guest a minute ago talking about how community colleges are now training and coming and joining with nonprofits to help to build up those new trades and those blue collar jobs. And so this is one of those examples where we've created that partnership with Columbus State, and we're really excited about the work that we've done with this first cohort of people that we just graduated last week.
Carmen, with the Franklin County Department of Job and Family Services, when you look at this Trades Academy partnership, what kind of jobs are we talking here? What are you looking to get people into?
We're interested in a variety of jobs that really meet the local demand for our county. That's what the commissioners are interested in investing in. So particularly for this program, we have opportunities in plumbing or in welding, electricians, a variety of jobs, painters even for
Do you have to decide? So it's a. We'll talk about in a little more details of the program. It's a 7-week program. But when you enter it, do you have to decide what you want to do? I mean, do I have to walk in knowing I want to be a welder, not a plumber?
I believe it's a bit of both. So you need to explore a little bit. And a lot of times, we heard you talking about this earlier, a lot of times young people aren't interested or introduced to the trades. So when they come into the program, it gives them an opportunity to explore, to see what the trades are, what all the opportunities are, and then kind of find their fit.
Yeah, Stephanie, it's a 7-week program that launched this summer. So we're getting involved in it. It's going to continue, correct?
That is correct. We will have 3 other cohorts that will be coming online before the end of the year. Let me just go back and talk a little bit about what Carmen was talking about. Mm-hmm. We created what we've called a Career Connect Hub, and it has a 4E framework. It's explain, explore, educate, and then employ. And so
those are goodies. All right, I got it.
Exactly. And so what we're really trying to do, as Carmen just said, is first of all, we're going out to the construction industry and saying, what are those in-demand jobs that you need right now? Because what we don't want to do is train people, say, in pipe fitting, and they really don't need pipe fitters right now, but they need electricians or they need welders. And so we look at probably 3 or 4 different career areas. They come back and say, this is what we're going to need in the next year, 2 years. This is how many. And then we do the explain, explore sessions with folks. So you know, and so people from the industries literally come in and they say, this is the day in the life of a welder. This is the day in the life of a pipe fitter. This is what you need to be educated or you got to have this much math and whatever. And so these young people, they know what they want. And so after they sit and they talk through, you know, with those industry practitioners, then they decide where they want, what areas they want to go into. And then that's how they start the program.
And Carmen, my understanding is it's also a holistic program. So you're also wanting to talk with them about career training and readiness and educating them on being a part of the workforce. Can you talk more about the holistic, well-rounded
individual? So part of the partnership and provides for training specifically in the skilled area, but it also provides for what we call wraparound services. So that's any barrier that the resident may have that's kind of impeding their ability to find employment, to remain gainfully employed, and whatever that looks like. That could look like, you know, access to childcare, access to transportation support, or just some basic coaching about being employable and really being your best self when you arrive at the job site. And so this program allows for all of that and provides all of that for the resident. Wherever their need is, then they have a coach and some support to work with them through that.
Stephanie, a part of what got us interested in this topic is we got an email from someone in your office who basically said that you had 1,000 people, more than 1,000 people apply, and you didn't have that many spots, but you were overwhelmed by the interest. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. Right now we had 1,000 people apply or put in interest forms. And we still have about 800 people on our waiting list right now. And so we've begun already going down that list and looking at what next, because we can only take 20 people.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, 20 out of 1,000. That's just, I mean, wow.
So you know, one of the things we are looking at, and you know, we've been talking to the Franklin County Commissioners, and I've also been talking to people in the construction industry. It's time for everybody, not just the county commissioners, not just public dollars, but the private sector. It's time for them to put some skin in the game, because we're actually getting them a pipeline ready for these jobs. And so, you know, we're looking now to talk to the private sector and say, look, you know what, it's going to cost XYZ in order for us to maybe start another cohort. So will you match what the county commissioners have done? so that we can, instead of having 20, we can get 40 or we can get 60 and we can run congruent cohorts so that we can meet the demands that the industry is requiring right now.
What ages are those 1,000 applicants? What ages are we talking?
Believe it or not, a lot of these are your 18, 19 to like 25 and 26 year olds. Mm-hmm. And these are young people who have decided that they're not going to go to college. They don't want to incur that debt or that just didn't have an interest. And they are really looking at the trades. It's really so fascinating. Now, when I was on the school board almost 20 years ago, we closed all the career centers in Columbus City Schools, right? Because folks thought that everybody had to go to college. And now we need those career centers back if you look at what the demands are for the industry today.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about how the Franklin County Trades Academy is training the next generation of skilled workers with Stephanie Hightower, president and CEO of the Columbus Urban League, and Carmen Barnes, assistant director of Franklin County's Department of Job and Family Services. Now, Carmen, 7 weeks seems quick to me. Can you learn enough in 7 weeks? I mean, most of these jobs have to probably be on-the-job training.
7 weeks is quick, but it's an intense focus that I believe that a lot of our residents really are interested in having. We've seen longer programs, but this program allows you to get in and really focus. You kind of have to manage your life a little differently when you're stepping out and joining a full-time training program. So this allows people to do that, kind of make a commitment, and then move directly into a deeper level of learning that you'll see when you enter into an apprenticeship program.
And Stephanie, there's a financial assistance available, too, for during the 7 weeks. Is that right?
Absolutely. This is where, you know, the county commissioners and Carmen and her team, they've been masterful. We know that a lot of times people cannot just quit their current job. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, they need to have some incentive to keep them focused. And so there is a $300 a week stipend along with the supportive services that we provide as well. So if you need childcare, if you need a tire for your car, mm-hmm. if you need boots to go on out, if you need to get your glasses fixed, if you need your license reinstated, there's about $1,500 of supportive services dollars per each participant that they can spend to make sure that we remove those barriers so that they can be successful.
What are the requirements afterwards? So you complete the 7 week program. What happens next?
Get a job. Yeah. So we have right now one young man. We've already started the interviewing process. CK Construction. Thank you, CK Construction. They hired a young man on the spot. We have three other individuals who are in the interviewing phase, the second phase of interviewing. And so we're hoping that they will be made offers pretty soon. And so our goal here is to get all 20 of them employed within the next 30 days.
Hmm. How did you, if you had 1,000 applicants, how did you pick the 20?
Gosh, a lot of it was, I have to say, people filling out their paperwork on time, doing what they said they were supposed. You know, a lot of times folks, they say they're interested, but, you know, life is life, and right? Mm-hmm. And so they may not get that paperwork in on time. And then, you know, we also, there is drug screening because, you know, going into construction and the trades, we have to make sure the people, in spite of, you know, what the laws are, you have to be clean. And so drug screening goes in. We then look at, do you have a license? Because a lot of times, a lot of these construction companies or sites, they you need a license. Not that you're going to be driving, you may not have your own car, but you might have to drive some equipment. So if folks don't have their license, then they get, you know, wiped out if their drug screen doesn't, you know, come mm-hmm. back clean. So there's a whole interviewing process. And then, you know, our job coaches sit down and, you know, they talk with folks to see, are you really serious about this? Because we want to make sure that we can go back to the county commissioners and say, you know, we've been able to really put people in jobs. So we've got to have those kind of results. We got to have retention. and we've got to get people in apprenticeship programs and journeyman programs so that they can continue down and so that we can put underrepresented folks, and especially women. 20% mm-hmm. of our classes have to be women. And so we're really mm-hmm. excited about the fact that we've got to also recruit women in this slot, too.
And Carmen, can you talk about the recruitment? I mean, obviously, if you got 1,000 applicants, you did a good job with publicizing this program. Mm-hmm. But where did you reach out to? Was it were you reaching out to high schools for seniors?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Urban League is doing most of the marketing for mm-hmm. the equipment, but we're also referring people mm-hmm. to the program as well. So people who come in who need support and services from any of our health and human services agencies, if we find that they are looking for a career opportunity, we can refer them to this program. Additionally, the youth that we work with in summer youth employment who have graduated high school, aren't quite sure what they want to do next, we refer them to programs like these as well.
And Stephanie mentioned a construction company that you're working with. Do you have companies reaching out to you saying we need workers?
Not to us directly. They probably would be reaching out directly to the Urban League for that. Mm-hmm.
But the county also has, we've talked to the county. They have trades jobs at the county
Correct.
That are unfilled. And so
our public facilities management position would be one of those employers who are looking to hire some of the graduates from this program.
So what is the county? I mean, obviously, you just graduated your first cohort. You have more coming up. But what does the county see as the longevity of this program? Will the county continue to support it past the current plan?
There is a commitment to continue mm-hmm. with this. I think, as we mentioned before, the commissioners really are interested in the residents of Franklin County doing well and thriving. And we know that opportunities for employment, employment with good jobs at the end mm-hmm. is what makes a difference, not just for the individual, but also for the family. So absolutely, you've seen a long history of the commissioners investing in these types of programs, and I would expect that they would continue to do that as well.
When is the next cohort starting? You just had a graduation ceremony. Do you know when the next one starts?
2 weeks. We're going to be starting in 2 weeks. And so a lot of those people are already in the process. So I would say if there is an interest, I would suggest that folks get ready for that third and that fourth mm-hmm. cohort mm-hmm. and that they can call the Columbus Urban League or they can go online to CUL/Franklin County Trades Academy or FT. What is it? Franklin County.
We could just Google Franklin County Trades Academy. That's how you find everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And they can go online and they can go ahead and apply right now.
Okay. So people listening shouldn't be intimidated by the fact that you have this wait list. They should apply, right?
Absolutely, because there's no guarantee that you're on that wait list that, again, if you don't meet all the requirements, that you will actually get in.
Okay. And Carmen, before I let you go, I wanted you to just like talk a little bit more about what Franklin County and your department, Job and Family Services, what do you see? What do you need out of young people? And what are you hoping that they learn so that you can have more programs like this and just so everyone can succeed and get a job?
Absolutely. So our director, Michelle Lindenboom, is really committed to like the whole family, again, thriving. And so for young people in particular, we really want them to be exposed to a variety of opportunities. They are amazing. What we know about some of the 19 and 20 year olds that probably have come through the door interested in this program is that they had an opportunity to really look at those E areas that Stephanie just described and find themselves. And that's what we want. We want them to find themselves and create careers that they love. And this may not be the only one. It could certainly be a first one that would just provide amazing exposure, amazing experience, and amazing education for them. And then they can also vary out and do something different. You were talking about entrepreneurship earlier. So a lot of our young people are committed to that, and they are able to learn that and have that experience through the trade. So that's what we want. We want them to thrive in life. We want them to do well. We want them to contribute to their community and to this county and find and create a home here for themselves.
And Franklin County has invested in this program. What do you need to make it bigger? What would Franklin County need? Does Franklin County have more money?
I'm going to reiterate what Stephanie said earlier. This is a proven concept. We've been working in programs like this for a while. So the model works. We understand that when you provide excellent training as well as that wraparound support for people, they are able to launch into their careers. So we do invite employers in the private sector to now begin adding to the investment and in creating larger opportunities for us to help more people, to support more people, and to prepare them for great careers.
So if a company comes to Franklin County and says, oh my goodness, we need more plumbers, we need more electricians, and then you would say, well, help us bring them to you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
We've been speaking with Carmen Barnes, Assistant Director of Franklin County Job and Franklin County Department of Job and Family Services. There's lots of words in that department. And we've been talking about the 7-week Franklin County Trades Academy. Thank you for being with us, Carmen.
Thank you for having me.
And we've also been speaking with Stephanie Hightower, president and CEO of the Columbus Urban League, who's going to stay with us. And coming up after the break, we're going to hear from a recent graduate of the Trades Academy. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. With concerns about AI replacing white-collar careers, plus the increasing debt that comes with a college degree, we're talking about the increased interest in trade careers among Gen Zers. Earlier this summer, the Franklin County Trades Academy was launched. The 7-week training program recently graduated its first class. Still with us is Stephanie Hightower, president and CEO of the Columbus Urban League. Thanks for being here, Stephanie.
Thank you again.
And joining us now is Jameer Coleman, a recent graduate of the Franklin County Trades Academy, the 7-week training program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So can you tell us, how did you learn about this, for the Franklin County Trades Academy? How'd you hear about it?
So while I was online, I was looking for an apprenticeship originally, and then I ended up, you know, just going to like social media and typing in apprenticeship, see what came up, and then I ended up coming across this. And I actually, before this, I didn't even know about pre-apprenticeships, so they definitely did a great job like reaching out.
Okay, so what was your focus? What did you want to study with Franklin County Trades Academy?
I knew I wanted to get into carpentry immediately.
Okay. Tell me about why carpentry.
Carpentry, mostly because while I was working remote, so I had a lot of time to, you know, really get in my garage and start working on my little workshop and stuff like that. And then just doing all that stuff, like, you know, working with my hands and everything, it just felt more like a passion was building up. So from there, I knew I wanted to get into that.
Did you feel like working with your hands was better than the remote job you were doing?
Yeah, so originally I worked as a software tester, a contracted software tester. So I am one of those people that are switching from white collar to blue collar. Mm-hmm. So I would say I get more fun, more thrill out of working with my hands, picking up tools, you know, learning them and just seeing like, you know, the physical return of my time rather than, you know, just crunching numbers or, you know, looking over websites over and over again and things like that.
And did you, I don't know how old you are. Do you mind me asking?
I'm 29.
29. Okay. So did you consider a college career or is that like, tell me about that transition from the white collar to the blue collar.
So I went to college. I went to the University of Akron, go Zips. I graduated with a bachelor's in computer information systems, with the intent of doing like web design, you know, things like that. But I kind of, my path kind of got rerouted a little bit, and I ended up just going through and becoming like a software tester. It was just like one of those jobs that were like available to me at the time, and I was like, you know, maybe this will be something that I'll really get into. But after a while, you know, it really was just, like I said earlier, like, you know, just the same old. So I was like, all right, it's time to move on from that.
So what type of carpentry are you interested in? Do you want to be building houses, or are you talking more intricate stuff?
So my original plan was to do like residential work. I will say, I know they brought it up earlier about people that were in interviewing with CK, and I was actually one of those three. And I actually just got a job offer yesterday, so
Seems
like I'm going to be going into commercial.
breaking news!
Yeah, right. So yeah, I want to thank them for that offer. I'm definitely very thankful for that opportunity. But yeah, originally, you know, residential was my plan. You know, everybody, everything I'm seeing on social media is, you know, residential work and people doing like wood shops and stuff like that. or woodworking, sorry. But, you know, I think the most important thing for me, especially right now, getting my foot in the door, is learning the skills and then eventually, you know, doing something like that on the side or just like being able to help out my community, you know, family and things like that. So,
yeah, Stephanie, so he's talking about a construction company that you mentioned earlier. So tell me about this partnership.
Well, Jim Negron is our board chair at the Columbus Urban League, and his company has really been invested in wanting to make sure that we create this pipeline. So they are strong supporters of this program. And they have work, and they knew that we had this program. And so they wanted to basically, and that's the good thing, they wanted to have first dibs on, you know, some of the great talent that's coming out. And so that's what has happened. And so that's why we think it's important that these companies come in now, because we are creating that pipeline for them, that they've got to put some skin in the game. And CK Construction mm-hmm. has put some skin in the game already.
Mm. Now, earlier you talked about having the 1,000 people who applied for these positions at the Franklin County Trades Academy being a lot of young people, you know, right out of high school, figuring out what to do. But obviously, Jameer here is a little bit older, had a plan A and now wanted to transition to plan B. So the Franklin County Trades Academy helped him get to that plan B. So did your cohort that you just graduated have people of all ages?
Did it, Jameer?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There were people... there was actually a couple people, I'm not going to say their age specifically, but I would say they were over 40.
Okay.
We've had people, like she mentioned, like Ms. Hightower mentioned, we had people that were, you know, 20, 21 years old. I would say a majority of my cohort, probably late 20s, early 30s, okay. was more the range.
Okay. And what did you learn in your 7 weeks? I mean, tell me a little bit, like, did you go to a classroom every day?
Yes, it was a classroom. It was more lecture-based for this first cohort. I heard there's going to be some changes as they, you know, as they progress. So we went over, like, soft skills. We went over mental health, which was, I thought that was wonderful. We definitely covered financial literacy. We were able to go over like each trades because, you know, there's way, way, way more out there than people think. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't even know there was like a union for painters and things like that. So we learned all that stuff. We ended up taking like a dexterity test just to kind of see like how proficient people were with their tools. Mm-hmm. That covered most of it.
Tell me about the mental health component. Was it to so that you can find yourself in a good headspace going forward?
Yes, I think that's like one of the foundations of you know, prospering in places like this, because there's going to be stress. It's not, you know, relaxing all the time. It's going, you know, you're going to have your highs and your lows. So for people to come in and be prepared, not only physically but like mentally for this type of task, I think that's like very important. So,
and in your cohort that you were with, obviously you liked woodworking in your garage, so you knew that you were interested in the carpentry aspect. What were other people interested in? Did they know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody mm-hmm. knew what they wanted to get into. We mm-hmm. had heavy equipment people that wanted to do, you know, operations and things like that. We had electricians. We had people who wanted to be plumbers and pipe fitters. We had people who wanted to get into HVAC, people with experience already, but they wanted to get into like companies and things like that. So they, you know, they work more like a temp job, you know, things like that.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the Franklin County Trades Academy, a 7-week training program. And with us, we have Jameer Coleman, a recent graduate of the program, and Stephanie Hightower, president and CEO of the Columbus Urban League. Stephanie, I'm sure that you've heard other stories from people in the cohort. Is there anyone else who you'd like to highlight who is a part of the Trades Academy and now has moved on to something else?
Gosh, well, this is our first one mm-hmm. for this new improved and new mm-hmm. restructured program. I just want to maybe hit on what Jameer said about one of the things that we knew that we know now is we want to get folks more intentional, hands-on type of experience over at Columbus State. So mm-hmm. it's not just all mostly computer-based or just, you know, we want to be able to take them. And so we do have another program where we're doing that with the utility companies, where they're literally, they're going, they're seeing how to go up a pole. They're seeing how you put wires down in the ground or up. And so that's one of the new and improved pieces we've got to add into it, because it's one thing to hear about the day in the life of what a carpenter actually does, but it's another thing to go out on a site, to actually see it, to be out there to talk to folks, and see exactly what they're doing. So we've got to add that component in.
Yeah, you were saying that it was mostly in the classroom. Did guest speakers come to you?
Yes. Oh, yes. The guest speakers, honestly, is one of my highlights for the things. We had a lot of, like, retired trade people come in. We had a woman named Katie come in. She did sheet metal. We had Mr. Viney. He was a retired. He works at Columbus State now, but he was in masonry before he retired. We had a guy named Russ come in. He was a non-union carpenter, so I asked him, like, so many questions. It was just all day with that guy. And then, you know, we even had, Mr. Ansley, another retired tradesperson. He actually worked as a landscape architect. So you kind of get so many perspectives, and I think that's really important for the people in the room.
Well, and it was also kind of a networking thing too, because you're meeting people. Is this how you got connected to the construction company, was because of this program?
Yeah, part of it. I reached out to them during the program because I already knew we were going to be doing interviews and things like that. So I'm the type of person, I like to be prepared and be a step ahead if I can. And it kind of shows that I'm more passionate about this rather than just doing it for fun. So I would just say for anybody in the next couple of cohorts or just in the future, just reach out to companies while you're in there. Just, let them know what you're doing. Hopefully you interview with them when they come in, because, the end goal is to, get your foot in the door. So. Yeah.
Trust me, he's going to be coming back as one of those speakers to be able to talk about his success and really get folks encouraged. And, while we have people from all walks of life and ethnic backgrounds, it's also important because we do have a lot of folks who are from the minority community that are there, that they see people that look like him and so that they can actually see what they can be. We, have women that come in so that the women can actually see a woman and they know that they can be in sheet metal and do this. So we have to make sure that he will be coming back and being a part of this. So next time when you have us on, we'll be able to say, this is what he's done and here's how he's recruited more people.
Did you know that there were more than 1,000 people who applied for these small number of spots?
I actually didn't, which it really puts a perspective on being the class representative for the first, because it could have been anybody. So I think for me, it gave me a big confidence boost to know that I was selected as, out of that many people.
So. You're one in 1,000. Maybe you're one in 1,000,000. Yeah. Was there an interview process? How did you get, you filled out an application. How did you get in?
So you have to attend an Explain Explore. When you go into that, you talk to somebody that's already a part of the trade. They come in as a speaker. They present to you. They kind of give you the rundown, what to expect when you get into these things. And then from there, you can fill out an application. I filled out my application while I was there. So you fill out an application afterwards. And then from there, I got a call from Ms. Tanya. It was just a phone interview, just asking me, the basics, is this something that you really want to do? Are you willing and able to come in for 7 weeks? Pretty much the rundown of what to expect. So that way you're not blindsided by anything.
Yeah. So did you have to quit your software job to be able to do this for 7 weeks?
So I was actually let go from my software job. It was it was government related. So they were kind of weird with the budget and things like that.
Everything's weird. Yeah. We'll just go with everything's weird. Everything's weird right now.
Everything's weird right now. So I didn't have to quit a job personally. I was kind of just in a state where I was just applying for all these different places.
You were in between jobs, kind of in limbo. And this fell at the right place, right time for you. Okay. Yep. And you mentioned that you follow a lot of woodworking on social media. Do you feel is there a lot of influence on social media where people are saying do this job instead of sitting in an office all day?
I wouldn't say it's do this instead of this. It's just more of people doing something that they love. And so I'm watching somebody, put together a wall or, You get those people who go around and they just kind of volunteer to fix others' fences or, you know, things like that. And I feel like that is more of an impact than just kind of comparing yourself to like white collar jobs, you know, just showing how much you love what you do. Mm-hmm. And because it definitely had an impact on me.
Yeah. Stephanie, just for our last minute here, what's your dream here to how do you expand this program? How do you get all 1,000 people who applied into your academy?
You know, having opportunities like this, so thank you again for having us, and we can talk about this program. You know, this is about economic development for this region, and what we're doing is we're helping people move into the middle class. These are people that will be paying taxes, they will be buying homes, they will be contributing members of the community. And so, you know, my hope for the future is that we can get the private sector and more companies on board with this, especially these new companies that are coming to town, right?
Mm-hmm. We have a few of them.
Yeah. The Intels, the Amazons, and say, you know, let's invest in this program, and so that we can do, instead of one cohort at a time, we can do two or three at a time, and that we can begin to build the middle class here in Columbus and Franklin County.
Put it like a little bit of the effort that we put into college degrees for all those years. Let's put it into this now.
Yeah, yeah. Spot on.
All right. We've been talking about the Franklin County Trades Academy, a 7-week training program with Jameer Coleman, a recent graduate. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Stephanie Hightower, president and CEO of the Columbus Urban League, the group running the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you again.
And this has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.